The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Yesterday, the Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll-McNeill, and the CEO of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, issued a formal apology to the family of Bryony Sainsbury, who died after being crushed by a horse in 2021. The Minister and Mr. Gloucester acknowledged the health service had failed both Bryony and her family, and Bryony's parents, Alison and Chris, are with us now. Alison and Chris, thank you so much for talking to us today. Can I start by getting your reaction, Alison, to the apology?
I still don't think we've sort of taken it all in completely. It's just been a long time coming, you know.
Does it in any way give any small consolation? I know nothing will bring your beloved daughter back. Does it make the struggle since then to for your story to be heard, does it make that worthwhile?
In a very small way, I think, you know, they should have had more interaction with us as a family far, far early on in the journey that we've had to go on.
Can I ask you, if it's not too difficult and not too painful, can you just tell us the background to the tragedy and what happened in its aftermath? I know Bryony loved working with horses, and that day she had left work to be with her two horses. Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, we got a phone call from the livery owner, Jeffrey, and where Bryony had her horses. And it took us about sort of 25 minutes to get there, and then we saw the ambulance, and your stomach just dropped. And then we saw Bryony on a gurney, and she was bleeding from the head. She was bandaged, but she was still bleeding. She wasn't making a lot of sense. She was just sort of saying sorry. Then after a little while, then we were transported by ambulance. I went into the ambulance with Bryony, and we got to Mullingar General Hospital, and she was triaged. We had to sit outside because it was at the end of COVID. We weren't allowed in. And altogether, we were out there over 4 hours. And Chrissy, Bryony's dad, after a certain amount of time, I think it's about three or four times, he actually went in to see what was happening, how Bryony was, because we hadn't heard anything. You know, nobody phoned us or anything. So, you know, he'd gone in to ask what had happened numerous occasions. And they said, you know, she's being looked at and what have you. She'd had a scan, they hadn't told us, and they said that she had a fracture on her occipital bone. And I was allowed to see her for about 4 minutes. And she wasn't singing and dancing anyway. And
you were kind of pretty sure from the start. And you were concerned from the start that there was this accident was really serious. And that was backed up by some nurses there who felt that Bryony should be admitted to ICU.
Yeah, I mean, she should have been admitted far earlier than she was. She wasn't admitted until early afternoon on Sunday, the 28th. And it was far too late. We knew then it wasn't good.
This was kind of 2 days after the accident happened on the 26th.
Yeah, that was a Thursday. So Friday, Saturday, and this was early morning, Sunday morning, we had a phone call from quite an irate sort of nurse that had phoned us up saying, you've got to get up here because Bryony deteriorated. And she couldn't get a doctor. That was at 7 o'clock in the morning. We arrived there. We flew up there actually about 20 past, half past. And we saw our daughter. She'd been given a sedative, which in the inquest it was told she should not have been given the sedative, especially with a head injury because it masks their symptoms. But all through those previous days, when I'd seen her, when her dad had seen her, her brothers had seen her, she was vomiting. She was complaining of her head. She was grabbing her head, getting up out of bed. She was disorientated. She was in and out of consciousness all this time, and we had to watch that.
So she was very distressed, and obviously hugely distressing for you to see your daughter like that.
Yeah.
Was contact made on with Beaumont Hospital? I know you had made the point to staff about, look, Beaumont is the center in the country for brain injuries. Does she need to go there? Does she not need to go there?
I phoned up the nurse's admin on Saturday, and they said that she's not bad enough to go to be transported to Beaumont. But we didn't know until the inquest that they had 48 hours of no contact with Beaumont on Bryony's condition. And Beaumont had said to them, if there's at all any change in Bryony's condition, we're to be notified.
So, sorry to clarify, there was initial contact with Beaumont. They said
it was on the Friday.
They said, look, you know, monitor the situation. If anything deteriorates, let us know immediately. And that didn't happen.
Yeah. No.
So you believe she should have been moved to Beaumont much earlier than she was?
Yeah, because when Professor O'Brien had seen the CT scans after Bryony had died, he put them all together and he could see, he said in the courtroom that he could see from Friday the swelling in Bryony's brain from Friday. Yeah, all her scans that were done in Mullingar Hospital were all read remotely because they're done at a certain time and there's no radiologist there 24/7. So they go remotely, either to England or the USA. And they all came back as stable, and they weren't.
At what point was Bryony actually transferred to Beaumont Hospital?
When she was nearly brain dead.
And going back to that, on the Saturday, when the doctor on call was doing his rounds, he looked over and saw Bryony was in, and he knew it was because of the brain swell. He said all this in the inquest, and he didn't do anything. At that stage, he should have been on the phone to Beaumont saying that she was deteriorating and got her moved to Beaumont urgently, like, you know, but there was nothing.
That seems to have been one of the key failures, and it is an issue that I think has the department has acknowledged needs to be addressed, that issue of a breakdown of communication and the system for handover of patients' care when a consultant is off duty needs to be examined to ensure staff know who is responsible for care, who is directing them when the treating doctor is off duty.
But yeah. I think, you know, both the doctors in question are well qualified. You know, one's been working there over 20 years, one's been working there 15 years maybe. You know, we're not talking about junior doctors, we're not talking about med students out of med school.
One of the things that's always in our memory is by the time they were bringing her down to ICU, she was in severe pain with her head, like, and wheeling her down to ICU, they couldn't keep her on the stretcher where she was reeling around and rolling around in pain. And that was the last time we heard her voice, like, because
screaming.
We didn't get a chance to say goodbye to her or anything, like, you know, because we still thought that she was going to pull through. But Professor O'Brien said to her that if he got her by 4 o'clock on the Sunday, the outcome would have been reversed. So we're having 4 to 6 weeks off work and then back to work. They got to her. So we've got a lot of on our minds and sleepless nights over it, like, you know.
I can only imagine it's a terrible thing for you to have gone through. At what point, it seems to have been pretty quickly after Bryony's death that you were contacted. Was it by the hospital or was it by the health service to say, look, we're not happy with how this case was?
It was by Mullingar General Hospital on the 13th of October 2021, which you've got to think that was, you know, a couple of months after Bryony died. And, you know, saying to us that they're putting a review team together to look into our daughter's death. And then it proceeded on to there. But, you know, we're told when they've got the committee together for the review team, they tell you, they told us in a meeting with them, that we would be furnished with a report within 125 days.
How long did it take? So
it was nearly 580 days after.
And you wanted to participate in that review. Obviously, you wanted to get answers as to what happened, but also to ensure what happened to Bryony would never happen to anybody else again.
Yeah, but like we've said to them before, what do they learn? You know, I could name quite a few young people that have died in similar situations to Bryony since 2017.
So you're not convinced.
So they don't learn.
You're not convinced lessons have been learned. Can I ask you finally, you've gone through what is every parent's worst nightmare, to lose one of their children, and in such terrible circumstances. The impact it has had on your family over the last 5 years?
It's immense. To watch your child die, let alone watch what it does to your other two children, Gregory and Aaron, their brothers, and a husband that always worked all his life, and to see how broken it makes you. You can't put it into words. No, I just, they've got to learn, you know. There's got to be accountability. The public sector has got to be accountable. Because we feel until that happens, no one's going to take their job seriously.
Chris, do you want to add anything before we finish?
Yeah, it's just like they definitely, the hospital managers need more accountability, that when things like this happen, that they can fire and stop some of this happening, like, you know, because it needs to stop. But it's all the other stuff as well that you miss, like, you know, I don't like weddings anymore because, you know, you feel that, you know, you're missing out with walking Bryony down the aisle and stuff like that. And then there's her grandkids, if she had any, like, you know, you're missing, there's loads of things that continues after, like, you know, that it's just something, everything, you know, it just piles up on you, like, you know, at the end. But she had a cruel ending, like, you know, and certainly with no thanks to them, like, you know.
Well, look, thank you so much, Alison and Chris, for talking to us today. I know it can't have been easy, and I know you have been through the most horrendous ordeal over the past 5 years, but thank you for your courage and dignity in speaking to us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Shane.
And the only other thing is, not only has it been 5 long years for us, it's for our solicitor, Karen Clavey, and our barrister,
Esther.
Yeah, you know, it's been 5 long years for them as well, like, and they stuck with us all the way through it, like, so fair play to them.
Alison and Chris Sainsbury, our deepest condolences to you for your loss, and thank you so much for speaking to the Hard Shoulder.
Yeah, thanks a lot, mate. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.